Hosting Hochatown, brought to you in part by First State Bank, member FDIC, Mountain Fork Brewery, and Hochatown Distilling Company. Podcasting from a special podcast area today as we are in the state capitol.
Hey, how's it going? Good to be on the show. Today is kind of a special day up here in the capitol. It's Water Day.
It's Water Day, and we've got lots going on out there.
There's lots of booths set up, lots of people talking water, conservation of water, what we can do in the future to protect our water. I'm up here today on behalf of the Oklahomans for Responsible Water Policy, a big day for water issues up here today.
Absolutely, and we have a very special guest. Please introduce yourself for our podcast today.
Carl Newton, State Representative.
State Representative Newton, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Very honored to be here.
We are passionate in our area about water, and I believe you're passionate about water as well.
I just wish we had as much as you guys did, is what I would like to say.
That seems to be the common theme.
I mean, I didn't say this, but I do represent Northwest Oklahoma District 58, so I have it's a lot drier than
this. You guys are pretty geographically different than we are down there.
It's amazing. It is.
You have a bill out now?
Sitting on the governor's desk, House Bill 3194. It is, in fact, I was asked for input on it last night. It is sitting on the governor's desk. We've gone through the House and the Senate, and the title is on, and so it's sitting on the governor's desk. He's either sign it or he won't, and so that's where we're at right now on this bill. But let me give you a little background.
Yes,
on the
please,
bill.
Please, yes, sir.
Okay, so we're talking about House Bill 3194. What happened was it's been about a year ago that I had problems. It was drought time up in there, and the water table was dropping over our aquifer there, and one of the communities was losing their water, and because their wells weren't deep enough. And so I had constituents reaching out with the problem, and so we had a big water meeting. I think it's literally next month will be exactly a year from that, and we had 350 people sitting in a room talking about water. And you know, it's just crucial for us. And so I looked at some different things that I thought was necessary. And so one of the things that came out of this was House Bill 3194, where we are looking at doing measuring or metering of permitted water. And I mean, a lot of people say, I'm going to make everybody meter their wells. That's not it. It's permitted water. That's commercial industrial water. And those permits are regulated by the OWR, Oklahoma Water Resources Board, and so they take care of all that. And so it was just those they just want them to, or we would just like to make sure that they're staying in their parameters and that they are given, and so that they would just report what usage of water they had. And so there were some concerns that there was overuse of their allotment, and so that's where this came from.
I'm assuming the big farmers, the big commercial farms, were your biggest opponent of this?
It was interesting. You're right. I mean, there was some big commercial farmers, and I think they're still, but anybody that I've had the chance, and I've had numerous chances to sit down and talk to people about this bill, and any time I've sat down and visited with them and they understood what the bill was, what the design of the bill was, you know, I've generally had no complaints from those people. I mean, I met with the Farm Bureau board, statewide board, and met with them and talked with them. I mean, I've met up here with multiple farmers from different areas. And also, you know, anybody that wanted to talk about it, I would have been glad to talk about it, because I want to make sure they understand my intent. Intent is always, I think, important in a bill. So.
Right. You may be familiar with some of the kind of the fights that the ORWP has had up here. And anytime you introduce anything that's regulatory or seems regulatory, you get a big pushback. What is your thoughts on in-stream flows? Or are you familiar with the phrase?
In-stream flows, are you talking about the water coming into the aquifer from the surface water? Is
well,
that what you mean?
In the context of how the Waters Resource Board decides how much water should be allocated for permit,
okay,
and how they make that decision.
Yeah,
one of the things that ORWP has been pushing for is to bring new science in, bring in other variables that aren't necessarily in the way they do it now. You know, bring in economic impact. You know, as far as tourism, just everything that comes along with water, not just consumptive use. And this is my, I guess, my third year, you know, working with ORWP. And it just seems like when you look at it at face value, it seems very reasonable. Well, let's bring new science in. Let's take into account everything that it benefits. And then let's come up with what it should be allocated. But we get a lot of pushback. And I was just curious as to what your thoughts were on that. And if you were for or against redoing the way they allocate the amount of water, and for whatever reason, why?
One of the things I was thinking on this is that, you know, I had actually three water bills, and two of them got killed either in the committee process or didn't get here heard in committee. And so this is the one I had left. And to me, you're going to have to take baby steps on this, on this whole process. And, I mean, I had most contentious bill I've ever ran, I think, because everybody's got the misconception that I'm taking their water away from them.
Right.
And it's very difficult. And yeah, we do need to study these aquifers, because each one of them is different. I mean, we look at the Ogallala out here in very far west or in Oklahoma and up into the Panhandle. You know, it's a huge aquifer that goes from Nebraska down through Oklahoma and into Texas. And you know, right now, the aquifer out there is dropping a foot a year. I mean, it was dropping a foot every 2 years, and they say it's not replenishable now. And so what are we going to do? I mean, I'm fine probably till I die, but what about my grandkids, you know? And all that whole area that relies on that water, I mean, they're going to almost cease to exist if they don't have that water. So, yeah, I'm very concerned about that. But I just want everybody to know this is just to make sure that we're reporting our usage so we can get an idea
exactly
of what we're using, where we're at. Yeah. It just kind of gives us a starting point. And so these are just, I think you're going to have to be very, very cautious in moving, because everybody thinks I'm taking your water rights away from you, which, you know, there's only three states from here to the West Coast. There's only three states that the individual has the water rights. You know, most of the other ones, the state has the water rights. And so that's what makes it even more contentious here in Oklahoma, because I'm invading your personal rights.
Right.
And so that makes it a little more difficult.
Right. And along those lines, though, at some point we've got to, I think, all understand that conservation, along with other methods, you know, it's all got to work together, because, you know, water is life.
And, yes.
And if we don't put things in place now, like you said, we'll be good while we're still here, but our grandkids and stuff will suffer the consequences of those things. Do you ever make it down to our part of the country much, down in Southeast Oklahoma?
I have been to Hochtown once, but I've been close to there another time. But yeah, I've been down there a couple of times. The unique thing is that, you know, you guys have surface water.
Right.
And we do not. I mean, in northwest Oklahoma and southwest, I can only think of two large communities that get any surface water. All our other communities rely upon this underground aquifer water. And so if it ceased to exist, that whole area ceased to exist too, because you just can't. I mean, they talk about bringing in industry and all that, but I mean, again, water is crucial for all those to be a success. So, yeah.
And you talked about this bill helping you qualify where all the water is being used and how. And I think maybe one of the points you were getting at is recreation doesn't seem like it's counted into, up to this point, it hadn't been, at least that I'm my knowledge. The recreation on Broken Bow Lake, we'll use that as an example, hasn't been really counted as part of the usage.
It's just not given much merit when they're considering how much water you know how much you've got, and then so how much are you using. That leads them to how much is
left.
Usable.
What can be allocated
or permitted. And if you don't take into account that economic impact, you know, you have an effect, a big effect on the entire area. And once you get outside of consumptive use, a place like us where we're at, you know, lake levels, yeah, we have plenty of water to drink.
Right.
But, you know, lake levels drop, boat ramps dry up, and then all of a sudden the tourism stops, the revenue stop, you know. So you have to, that needs to be considered, you know, and it's not just for business sake, but it's for all reasons that you want to conserve your water.
Absolutely.
And so that's kind of the goal of ORWP is to just get some things in place that and in-stream flows is really not even regulatory. It's just how you test to find out how much water you actually have.
Gotcha.
But it is kind of a dirty word. You know, a lot of people don't want to hear that. But I agree with you. Baby steps is definitely the way that it's got to be done. We haven't quite figured out, you know, what some of those steps are, but we definitely are looking into it, trying to figure things out, how to get something done. It's a big step in the fact that, you know, usually Western Oklahoma, due to the fact that they are so dry, you know, are reluctant to pass anything that might seem regulatory.
Gotcha.
Or anything, you know, and I understand why, that they just don't have the water that, you know, we have. But, you know, so this, I think, is a step in kind of that direction to where maybe we can all, because I don't think where you have, I don't think all our ideas are bad for Western Oklahoma, but they get put in with a lot of the bad ideas because, you know, just for the simple fact, you know, slippery slope thought, you know, once we go down that slope, it's a slippery slope. And I think you get enough people there, though, that understand that we have to work together to protect it for the whole state.
My idea was is that, you know, we can't wait until the water's gone and then worry about it. I mean, we need to do something while we still have the resource here. And then because, like I said, it's just a measuring. I'm just seeing what we are using so we can have a better idea of what our, you know, supply and demand is. It's just a normal supply and demand chain. And so we're just trying to find out where we're at on that in that place.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, everybody likes a long-term plan, you know, a comprehensive future plan. And to me, you can't really put that together without knowing what you're using.
So. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, did we cover everything you thought we should? Is there anything else you wanted to mention before you go?
I mean, you know, there were some people said that I was doing an unfunded mandate, that they would have to put meters on their well. I'm not requiring them to put a meter on their well. They can measure. Irrigators can use a telemetry. They can follow how much each rotation of the pivot uses. They can figure out their measure, their water that way. But what I did stick in the bill is that I did allow those that do meter that they can do five-year averaging. Specifically for irrigators, this is very important. You know, you're going to have dry years and you're going to have wet years.
Right.
And so as long as over the 5 years you stay within your 2 foot acres, then 2 acre feet, you're good with that. And so if you use 1.8 the first year and year three you have to use 2.2, that's all right, because you're staying within your allotment. And so I thought if you have made the investment to meter, that I think you ought to have a little more flexibility. And so that was my intent there.
Seems very reasonable.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. What worst case, as you were saying that, the question came, worst case scenario, that 5 years is all dry. Let's say we have a round of 3 to 4 years of real dry, and you have to go over that point. Is there a sanction? Is there an issue, something that pops up at that point?
Safety net.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry.
There, you can, if you go over it, you're just going to get, basically, the first time you go over it, they're going to, the OWRB has already said that they're just going to basically slap your hand and say, don't do that again. So
pay more attention to the water.
Yeah, pay more attention. Okay. So, I mean, they've got one, or if it, that last year they're over, that 1 year they'll probably go over and then get a slap on the wrist and they go on down the road. But there are, you know, there are fines and stuff. That there was another bill, Senate Bill 1341, that did not make it through both chambers. And so it had a lot more regulations and stuff like that, and I think that's why it did not make it as far as we wanted it to. So,
your proponents of this bill, do they have any plans of how they're going to keep the aquifer from running dry? Have they proposed, put anything out there that might stop what seems to be happening?
Well, I mean, there's infusion, there's all sorts of talk right now, but I don't know that I have anything that's, to me, that has stepped forward and I said, yep, this is going to work or feasable. I mean, long pipelines are very expensive. We're talking billions of dollars, because it's not just like a 2 foot pipeline. It'd be an 8 to 10 foot pipeline if you had to
for a long ways.
Yeah. And so, you know, there is runoff from some of these lakes, but there's talk about that, but I don't know how feasible that is. And so that's one of the things I would say. I mean, I just don't want to wait until we're too late before we do anything. So that's all my idea here was.
Yeah, well, water, once it's too late, it's kind of too late.
It is too late.
Yeah.
And like you said, it is our existence. It's not a choice we get to make. And so, it's very important.
Okay. Well, is there anything else you'd like to let the people know about? Or
no, I plan on being in Ho Chi Town later this year, I hear. So
well,
I look forward to being down there.
Yeah,
so.
Come down. You can check out our sponsors.
That's right. Absolutely. Ho Chi Town Distilling Company.
Mount Ford Brewery.
So. We were down there. Representative Dempsey took us a tour of that.
Nice.
They were down there last time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Reps Dempsey, he's always a good time.
Yeah. Absolutely. He does put on a good time for us. And since I don't know how long it's been since you've been down, but they've got the Thunder Vodka there now. As well as, of course, the Loyal and the True and the Orange Label for the bourbon. So they're doing big things there in Southeast Oklahoma as well, especially with that water.
Yeah. Making good use of
That's right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you all very much for asking.
Appreciate
your
time.
You bet. Have a great day.
Thank you.